Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen. He is James Hamm. We've had a ton of football today, and we'll continue talking about the 49ers win over the Seattle Seahawks. We've got to get into the Raiders' midseason QB battle as well as they go into a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. But tonight, before we can even get to Sunday, we have a Sacramento Kings preseason game tonight against the Golden State Warriors at the Chase Center. So I want to dig into this a little bit, James, knowing we're not going to overreact to preseason. We're not going to make sweeping declarations about what the team is or is not based on preseason games. But I think they can be instructive. They can be important, especially when it comes to the reserves. What are you watching for specifically tonight when the Kings and Warriors face off at Chase Center?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Mike Brown was clear earlier this week that in game two, he's going to play his starters more, that his starters will play into the second half. And, you know, they're starting to ramp up the players. Usually what you do is you ramp up and then maybe the last preseason game, you kind of take it easy again. Right. So I want to see the starters like continue to grow. I want to see them start to add in some of the play sets and not just play flow every single time down the court. I think the flow offense is great. But I also want to see if there's more substance in other ways, right? When they do need to go get a bucket, can they run a play for it? And do they have that in their arsenal yet? I think they do. But I also feel like as of right now, the flow offense is probably going to work really well. I think the other thing is I really want to see like what some of the reserves look like when they're when you put them in with the starters, right? It's one thing for Jalen McDaniels to go out and play a bunch of second half minutes and try to be something that really he's not. I kind of want to see what he looks like when he's in the system and he's being asked to do a very limited role, and it's basically he'll be the interchangeable piece in the overall system to Keon Ellis. Like, can you stand in the corner and shoot threes? Can you get an easy bucket here or there? Can you play defense at a high level? And what do you look like when you're playing alongside DeMar DeRozan versus Mason Jones, Colby Jones, and Isaac Jones? Like, so there's just a different role for him when he's with starters than when he's with the second team. And I want to see what a player like that looks like.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely more about the feel, right?
Yeah.
Do they look like they know what they're doing and they don't look lost? I don't need to, because I'm right there with you, but I don't need to see Isaac Jones go out there and hit three threes and grab seven rebounds. Just, can you be in the right spot?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you be doing the right things? That's kind of what, and there's going to be mistakes for sure, but it's just about kind of that growth. And you know, like if you've watched basketball, you know, when a player has a feel for a game or they don't. Like, that player knows what they're doing out on the court, and maybe they're just not caught up to the speed yet. Maybe they're just not familiar enough with the offense or what they should be doing rotationally on defense. You know, they got to catch up there, but they're like in the right spot. They're making the right play when the ball does come to them. I'm right there with you. I'm excited to watch Isaac Jones tonight. I have an old man take. And I'm not like crazy concerned with this, but it is something I'm watching for. I want to see what they look like defensively again tonight.
Okay.
And can you, and it's less about, and Golden State is not going to hit 28 of 52 threes again, but the issue is not necessarily the numbers. There were so many just wide open looks for Golden State in the first preseason game. And that's the thing. Can you get out and contest some of those? And you're not game planning again. It's just a little bit different. But on the other hand, if they're giving up a bunch of wide open looks from three again, now all of a sudden it's like a little bit, it's a little bit more of a red flag than just a one-off in one game. So that's what I would like to see. Can you get out and contest those threes? And if they're going to hit 28 of 50 of them, because that's apparently their offensive plan this year, is the Warriors are going to shoot a gang of threes and that's what they're going to do. And if they're going to hit 28 of 52, but they're hitting them over contests and everything, okay, so be it. But there were just too many the other night where just one extra pass, two quick passes, and somebody's wide open. That can't continue to happen.
Yeah, and I would point out, too, that, Jordy Fernandez left during the offseason. He's now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, right? And Luke Laux has stepped into the role as a defensive coordinator for this team. And a lot of their principles are the same, but they do have some principles that are different. And I think last year during the year, they made a change in how they defended the three-point shot as they got deeper into the season. It used to be race out, break down, hand in face, and then they switched to the high five. They're going up and trying to like high five the shooter. And,
which is legal.
Yeah, which is legal, and which is, they're trying to make things more difficult, and it really did help them. That's one major change that I think we're going to see them like refine as we go through the season. But also, I think the rotations in game one were just flat out bad, and they know that. They're going to go through the tape and go, oh, okay, this was unacceptable. This was unacceptable. And some of that is playing with new players, and some of it is it's preseason and the effort might not be there. But like I know for like certain, I watched Isaac Jones like go and stop somebody's man multiple times as a rotator, and no one shifted out to take his guy at the 3-point line, and they got wide open threes out of it. And I don't know that he needs to show every time and go try to stop and help somebody else's defender. I think sometimes he needs to hedge in between and sort of try to defend two players at one time. But certainly what he did in that game, his teammates need to be better, and he might need to make better decisions. His teammates might need to read him better so they know to shift to the corner instead of just, like the whole time trying to stay on a man that's already beat them. So these are the things that you work through and that you don't really know the functionality until you get into a game setting and you start to see like how these mechanisms work and how they work with specific players and how when you throw a guy in, again, just I'm not picking on Isaac Jones. I'm just using him as like a reference point.
Yeah.
You put in a guy like Isaac Jones, and he, again, has never played with Malik Monk. Like we got that from camp. But when he goes to cut off Malik Monk's man who's beat him off the dribble, Malik and him don't have a on-court rapport yet. Malik needs to shift and go get the guy. He needs to know that Isaac is there to defend him. And it's different than if, say, Trey Lyles was there, right? Or it's different if Keegan Murray's there. It's just a different feel and a different player, and you need to start learning your teammates and sort of their feel for the game, their understanding of your offense and defensive schemes. You need to start reading them and start helping them get better at what they're supposed to do. But also you need to understand that sometimes that means your job changes when you're chasing somebody and you're already beat. You need to go play catch up on somebody else's man because they've got you.
Yeah, and that's what these preseason games are for. Like making mistakes in the preseason is what you're there to do. It's just a matter of not repeating those mistakes game in and game out. The other thing I'm excited to watch, and this is literally just as a person who likes watching good basketball, I'm just excited to watch the Kings offense again. And I'm excited to hopefully see more minutes. It sounded that yesterday, like you said, that their starters might play into the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to see more of their starters playing basketball together, because that was thrilling the other night. I'm just excited for that, just on a personal level.
Oh, no, totally, totally. And I think, like, look, the one other thing I'm going to point out that it was kind of missed during the game. Like, Malik Monk only played, like, 9.5 minutes. Something happened with Malik Monk where he had a personal issue and he needed to leave during the mm-hmm. game. I don't know that Malik is going to play tonight. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I haven't checked in this morning to see if he traveled with the team or anything. But that's something that I would point out, that there's a possibility that we see different rotations because Malik's not there. And again, I'd also point out, I spoke to Jordan McLaughlin in the locker room before the game on Wednesday. He's getting super close to being cleared for game action. He was on the court in pregame shooting shots and like going through a normal warm-up. He's not quite there yet from the grade 2 ankle sprain, which happened literally the week before training camp started. Just bad luck for him. That he's on the mend and on the way back too. But again, if you don't have Malik Monk, what does that mean? And I want to see, again, if Boogie Ellis is the next man up, or if it's Mason Jones is the next man up, can they support the starters in the way that Malik did? And you can't ask any of those guys to be Malik, because Malik's an elite player. But what you can ask is for them to, you know, play within themselves and not make mistakes and try to emulate what he does as a player without being him. And that's not easy, but so there are a couple of players that are like close to returning and one that may or may not play. I don't know. We're going to have to see what's happening with Malik.
Are we all already out on Terry Taylor? I feel like there's been a lot of anti Terry Taylor in the chatty house the last couple of days.
Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. So look, I would say for the people that feel that way, right? Like, what you have to understand is Terry Taylor is a very specific player. Like, mm-hmm. let's just say that PJ Brown is your veteran on the court with four rookies or four young, super young players. What do you expect PJ Brown is going to do as a player? Nothing. He's going to be PJ Brown. He's not going to go out there and score 25 points. And so I think that it's the situation that I'm talking about where I want to see what Terry Taylor looks like with the starters. I don't need Terry Taylor to be Keegan Murray. What I need is, if again, Keon Ellis is out of the game, I need Terry Taylor to be the Keon Ellis of the offense and then a roving defender. I need him to know his role, which is to stand in the corner and wait for the three-point shot. And then I need him to crash for rebounds. I need him to be physical as a defender. Like, you have to think of these players, and the way we're seeing them is a lot of times out of their natural habitat, basically, is what I'm saying. So when you're going to put somebody out there and expect something different from somebody, say, hey, that's not who he is as a player. He is a support role player. And when you make him into something different, just like Kessler Edwards in Summer League or whatever, like you're looking at Kessler and thinking, oh man, this guy's just not good. And it's like, no, he's not good in the role that he's playing today. And so I want to see some of these guys in their natural role. And again, if Malik Monk plays, I want to see him. I want to start seeing this tandem with him and Isaac Jones. Because if Isaac Jones is a guy who might play this season, I want to see if he can be the dunker, if he can be the lob threat that this team lacks right now, and see if he can be that guy for Malik. Because that's where you start looking at guys in the roles that they might play and say, okay, what do they look like now?
It feels like that's a really important thing too. I know it sounds silly because it's the backup center. Like, it's the minutes that JaVale McGee filled last year. But on the other hand, it's like, separate JaVale McGee, the player from this for a second. He was that type of player, is so vital to maximizing what Malik Monk is doing.
Yes.
And that's why I think we've been focusing a lot on Isaac Jones, because I don't know that there's another player on the roster that you feel like, yeah, they could definitely go be that player, because they didn't go sign anybody who can do that. Like, screen and roll, get down the lane, catch a lob. They don't really have that threat. I mean, God bless Alex Len, but that's not his bag, really. Mm-hmm. So if you want to maximize what Malik Monk is doing, and not saying that he can't be an effective player without freaking JaVale McGee type on the floor, but if you want to talk about 16 points and 5.5, 6 assists, whatever, it's going to require that type of player to be on the floor with them for a handful of minutes every night. And that's why that's so important to get Isaac Jones rolling.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if that's what Isaac Jones' role is going to be, we don't know. Like, it's very possible Isaac Jones doesn't play hardly at all, and that they use him as like the two-way player that he is, and he's allowed 50 games up with the club. And then at the end of the day, he might just stay in the G League for most of the season. That's not what the plan is right now, it sounds like. It does sound like there is a potential role for him, especially early in the year when Trey Lyles may or may not be ready to play, and we don't know because of the groin pull. So I don't want to put, but it's just my main point is, like, I want to see guys play roles that they're going to play and that they're going to be comfortable playing. I think Boogie Ellis can come in the game and pretend like he's Malik Monk. I think he can take shots that you're like, oh, look at that. I think he can get downhill and he can find guys. I don't know that he's like an elite like setup guy yet, but I do know that like his confidence that he showed me in game one, that's what I need to see. And then at the same time, I want to see maybe a guy like Colby Jones who hasn't been able to separate himself, but maybe as the sixth or seventh guy in the main rotation, he would look different than he would as like a 1, 2, or 3 in the second team or third team that we see roll out in the second half. It's just tough to gauge somebody. What you're looking for is very specific. Mike Brown is looking for, like, how many times did Isaac Jones crash of his opportunities?
Right.
You're looking for things that they are listening and following directions and giving effort and giving energy and showing that they're learning on the fly. Because what we're dealing with right now is a lot of players on this team they're running to a spot because they're told to run to a spot. They're rotating to a spot because they're being told to rotate to a spot. And I talked about this with Willie Cauley-Stein maybe last week, the week before. There was a point where Willie Cauley-Stein in his second year said, I got through like the whole season and all season long, I was just running wherever they told me to run. He's like, then when I was able to sit down in the offseason, watch some tape, work with a coach, and then just have the experience of one season, I now know why I was running to that spot. It wasn't just run to a spot. It's that there's a very specific reason why I'm running to that spot. And it's even like, I remember Ben McLemore, sort of the same thing. Ben would just run through the key and go to the corner and run through the key. He never changed speed. He never changed direction. He just thought, okay, my job is to run to the corner because that's what I'm supposed to do. And then if they were to throw him the ball while he's cutting and a guy's sagging off of him, he didn't have the wherewithal to stop, catch a ball underneath the basket, go up and dunk it, because all he was told to do was run through the key and get to the corner. There's this moment where players get it and they start to understand the why to all of it. And until they do, you're using them in very specific ways. And that's why it's very important that teams draft and search for high basketball IQ players who instantly get it, like, oh, okay, I get it. So if I'm going to go do, again, this play where I'm just running through the key, maybe 3 times I'm going to run at this pace, and then 4 times I'm going to sprint as fast as I can, and then 1 time I'm going to act like I'm sprinting and then sit down, stop, put my hand up, and someone's going to find me.
Yep.
That's the next progression in the mental aspect of the game for young players. And what we can't ask is for young players to do that in game 2 of preseason or game 1 of preseason because they don't know the why. They don't know what they're doing. They're just trying not to make mistakes so their coach doesn't pull them off the floor.
Right. And that's why I think there's some expectation setting too for those players where at this point, can you just affect games on the margins? Can you understand enough of what you're supposed to be doing? And the why of it all matters for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But early on, can you crash down and get a couple extra offensive rebounds a game? Or crash down and get a body on somebody and somebody else gets that off it? Can you just create a couple of extra possessions per game? Like starting there, it doesn't have to be not playing, affecting the game at a high level. You can start by, going to get sprinkled in here and there. And these are the three ways that I'm going to have an impact on winning today. And then maybe by game 25, there's four ways you're impacting winning. And then maybe by playoff time, you're a regular rotation player and you've grown this much. And then next year it's going to take off. Like there's definitely a progression like that. But it definitely doesn't have to be figure it all out in these five preseason games or you're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely doesn't have to be that. So I'm very interested to see how the Kings young players A, play tonight, but B, just kind of continue growing throughout the year, because you mentioned it last show, like apparently a couple of young guys are playing.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the rotation. So yeah. That'll be worth monitoring throughout the year.
And I kind of want to bring this up. Tyler Jennings in the chat says, shouldn't the coach be explaining the why? No, the coach should be preparing his nine players that are going to play to learn every single nuance of their new offense and defensive scheme. And the other guys, whatever they pick up, whatever they glean from the conversation is what they glean from the conversation now. They're going to have plenty of time this season where they're sitting around just watching film or they're working with player development coaches on the side. It's overwhelming. We're not talking like they have to learn the playbook. And learning the playbook and understanding the playbook are two totally different things. Running to the spot on the field. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's like counting, and you're counting to 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. And your coach can go, hey, we're going to count to 1,000. But then you get into a game against another team, and that other team is going to start saying the alphabet. And all of a sudden, you can go, I know how to get to 1,000, but oh, shoot, now the reps are live. And now somebody else is running around doing something different. And I know I'm supposed to go here, but in this very specific instance, I'm supposed to go here. How does the defense adapt and adjust? Because the philosophy is this, and it's so much more than just knowing. You can know the offense inside and out, or the defense inside and out, or whatever you're supposed to be doing. But when an opposing offense is running it at you, and all of a sudden there's adjustments and there's things you got to be doing, and you got to know what your teammate's doing, and you got to know what this teammate is good at and what that teammate's good at. And oh, I got to watch this guy's back. And oh, they like to run this action. There are so many things going through your head where you have to be able to play like you're making decisions on the fly.
Yes.
So the coach can explain all he wants, but how are you processing that information mentally and applying it to how you're moving on the court? That is an entirely separate thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I would relay it to, let's just think of like a wide receiver running a post route, right? Everyone knows what a post route, you start on the outside, you go upfield, and then you cut towards the goalpost.
Yep.
It's a basic route that everybody's seen on Madden. Staple. Anyone who's ever played football knows what a post route is. Okay, in year one, there's a player like Brandon Ayuk who could, when he runs a post, he runs as fast as he can to the 22-yard line and knows it at the 22. He's veering towards the goalpost, right?
Yep.
And so in year one, that's what he's doing. In year two, he might take off slow and then build up to that break and then give a look to the right and then cut to the goalpost. In year three, there's a possibility that he might have a new shake that he does to get loose. So what you're doing is you're understanding that you're still running the same goal route. You're still running the same exact play. But what you look like running that play is, and your understanding of how you're going to get open for that play is totally different. And so it's very nuanced in the NBA because everyone just sees like players running to the basket or standing in the corner, but there's so much more to it. It's about, you know, again, changing pace, changing speed and direction at all times. And then like learning how to play within your pace. That's what you hear about DeMar DeRozan every single day. Nobody speeds up or slows down DeMar DeRozan. He dictates a pace of the game when he's in it. When he has the ball in his hands, you cannot shake him. He is unflappable. Yep. He is going.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
...to do exactly what he wants to do, and the defender has to play to his pace, which is extremely difficult to do because you don't know what pace he's going to play at, and he changes it the whole time. That's why people keep talking about that him, the way that he understands the game at such a high level. And it's just really tough for, you know, a kid who played at a couple of JCs, made it to a four-year college, didn't get drafted, end up on a team. Now it's like, okay, I need you to understand basketball at a extremely high level because whether you love the Golden State Warriors or not, you have to understand that Golden State Warriors are still a team that has played so many games together and moved together and are just picking apart a young team that doesn't know what they're doing. And that's what we saw on Wednesday. And you hope that your team gets better and learns from that experience and like starts to log and build a catalog in their head of what's coming next.
But I really, really tried. So Tyler Griner was saying, Kyle, land this metaphor. Yeah, I didn't. It's okay. I was going to do a thing, and then I realized while I was explaining it that it wasn't going to work. That's fine. It happens sometimes when you're trying to do a live radio show.
That's
but didn't
right.
land the metaphor. It is over there in a burning pile of ash. I got where I was trying to go.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
I got you.
thanks, man. I'm glad somebody does. Sass says that, hey, welcome back to the chat, Sass. Salute. Otani needs a pitch tonight. I don't think Otani's pitching tonight. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It'd be incredible theater if he just came out of the bullpen or whatever, but I don't think he's pitching tonight, as fun as that would be. Game five between the Padres and Dodgers is tonight. That's going to be electric. Can't wait for that one. Okay, I have another Kings question for you. We got a couple more Niner things to do. We'll have the handoff coming up. Tons to get into here on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon. D'Lo and KC coming up then. Let's Jesse hit the thing and get me out of here, please. We're back. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We're hanging out with you until noon. This is called The Insiders, talking a lot of Kings, talking a lot of 49ers. The Las Vegas Raiders take on the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. They're having a midseason quarterback battle.
It's like a midlife crisis, Kyle. It's very similar.
Yeah, very odd. So while you look at a team having a midseason quarterback battle and you go, oh, okay, that team's cooked, their season's over. If they beat the Steelers, who are an imminently beatable team, the Raiders are suddenly back in 500.
Yeah.
So I don't.
We're so hard on the Raiders. And if they win this week, they have the same record as 49ers.
Yeah, dude. That's what I keep saying. Like, can they just hang around?
Yeah.
My expectations weren't super high. It was like, yeah, I think this is they could have like a 9-8 type of season, but that was before all the Devontae Adams drama and the midseason quarterback battle and the fact that they've had such a hard time running the ball and then the Malcolm Kuntz injury and Max Crosby missed a game. Man, if they can figure out a way to get to 3-3, that would be super impressive. And they will certainly have a chance to do so against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. I've got a Kings question for you before we get into some 49ers stuff.
Okay.
Is there anything that can happen tonight in tonight's game or really over the next few games that is not related to injury, obviously, that can change your mind about the Kings in a good or bad way?
No, I mean, again, like when we talk about like the potential for one or two of these young players to fit into the rotation, right? Like we're talking about like the ninth and ninth and a half man. We're not talking about some earth changing thing. At least not early on. So I don't think so. I mean, outside of, like, barring injury or something like that, I think we know who the core of this team is. I just wish that they were walking into the season, that they walked in training camp healthy or healthier. You know, if they would have Kevin Herter, if they would have had, Jordan McLaughlin, they would have had Trey Lyles. So I think that that's one of the, like, this could get a little clunky early in the season because you're going to have to reintegrate players back in that haven't been there. And that's not the best situation. But I don't think that there's anything from preseason. I mean, maybe can Domantas Sabonis actually shoot 3 to 5 3-pointers a game? Because I don't think he can. Like, not, I think physically he can, but I think mentally, I don't know that he can do that. we talk about it all week long that he's going to shoot 3 to 5 threes per game. He goes out in the first preseason game and shoots zero. And you're like,
you're getting these 16-foot jumpers and you're going to like it. Which is fine. I'll take the middies for now. Midi City, we're here.
It's Sabonis's version of a middle finger. Like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to shoot middies. You're like, oh, okay. So I think there's always like talk of camp and what this is going to do, what that's going to do. I think, look, what we're going to see is the offense just look better and better each and every game because they're slowly adding more and more ingredients to it. And then you're going to have a week off before the season starts to like try to get all these other pieces back into it. And you hope that it works quickly.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. It's really tough in preseason, especially when if it's a team where you're just kind of you don't exactly know if this was the offseason after the Sabonis trade. Maybe in that preseason, you're looking and going, okay, we really got to see how this works. This is going to be pretty different. Maybe that could change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we know for the most part what the Kings are going to be, and now they're dropping DeMar DeRozan into it. And I already think they're going to be really dang good. So I don't. Here's what will change my mind a little bit. If they just don't defend the 3-pointer at all in the preseason, if their perimeter defense is just a mess,
mm-hmm.
then I'll feel a little. I'm not gonna move off my spot that they're a 50-plus win playoff team, but I will have the door open to some kind of regression from that, not regression, but them falling short of that expectation, because man, that would be a pretty significant issue. But I don't, as we watch this, that Isaac Jones being a good player and fitting in, okay, you feel good about that, but I'm not going to go, oh man, this is now the number one team in the West because of Isaac Jones. Like, no, he's just it might be a contributor. So there's nothing that can really happen outside of injury that will move the needle for me in a good or bad way.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And I think when we're looking at, again, how their defense looked on Wednesday versus how it might look tonight, number one, the Warriors hit a bunch of shots. Like, they just did. And everybody hit shots. It wasn't just one guy. But I'd also point out, like, after you get done playing the Warriors, who are a great three-point shooting team, they have the best three-point shooter in the history of the NBA and the history mm-hmm. of the world, you get to play... Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and a top 10 shooter in the history of the NBA, when it's all said and done, Buddy Hield will be in the top 10 as far as NBA three-point makes. And I'm not saying
he's going to be like top 15 by the end of this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, I think there is something to that you're looking at a team that really has a bunch of shooters. And then on Sunday, you play the Portland Trailblazers, who finished 30th in the league in three-point percentage last year at 34.5%. So what does your defense look like then? And if somehow they hold the Trailblazers to like 3 of 25 from three-point line,
sure,
we shouldn't get all excited about that either. It's preseason. One team is a great three-point shooting team. One team, you can't allow 28 makes. I mean, again, like, to put it in perspective, the Golden State Warriors, who just won 4 championships over the last decade and is one of the greatest shooting teams in the history of the league, if not the greatest shooting team in the history of the league. Their best ever, their franchise record for made threes was 27, and you gave up 28 in a preseason game. So, like, put that in perspective. That just, it was just a bad night And you hope that you can have a better night tonight. And if you can hold them to, say, 18 three-pointers and hold them to 37% from three, then you did your job and you're going to win the game.
You mentioned the Trailblazers. I hope Delano Banton plays a ton.
Oh.
Our guy needs a redemption.
Is he still there after the, what was it, one? He was over 15?
Yeah, as far as I know. Yeah, he set the record for most three-point attempts without a make in a game and then got ejected from the same game at Golden One Center last year.
Yeah, 0 for 15 from three. We were sitting there together, right, watching this unfold?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just and I think 0 for 12 was the record, and then he just kept chucking.
Yeah.
And then he got ejected. I've seen a lot of disastrous performances as somebody that's watched a lot of Draymond Green games, but that was an absolute all-time meltdown. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, in 39 minutes, he went 6 of 26 from the field, 0 of 15 from 3. He did score 17 points and dished out 7 assists, but my goodness, that was wild.
There was at one point, he was like 0 for 13, and he's pulling up from 30 in transition. It's like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, what is happening?
It's like, it felt like 0 for 8 or 9 or whatever. He was like, I'm shooting till I make one.
Exactly.
Just to say I made one.
That's right.
Oh, no. Delano.
Okay, before we move off King stuff, we do have to mention the Stockton Kings agreed to a trade this morning. Oh. They acquired the returning player rights to Drew Timmy. So Drew Timmy, sure, if he does play in the G League this year, will play with the Stockton Kings. In the trade, they gave up Jordan Ford and Deontay Burton, as well as a 2025 second round NBA G League draft pick. That's a lot to give up.
Oh, my God. They got fleeced.
He's on his way from the Wisconsin Herd. Timmer!
The Stockton Kings, if they continue down this path of team building, where you're going to lose Jordan Ford, Deontay Burton?
Yes.
Is that the name you said?
Yes.
Deontay Burton in a second round pick?
Yes.
In 2025. And a 2025 second round G League pick for Drew Timmy, who, don't get me wrong, nice player. But this is a fleecing. This is not a move for now. It's not a move for the future. And as long as the Stockton Kings are making moves like this, I don't know how they think that they're going to hoist the, what's the G League trophy called?
I don't know.
The G League championship trophy.
That's right.
It's ridiculous what's happening down there in the 209. I'm holding feet to fires.
I am so excited to see the Twin Towers of Scal Labissiere and Drew Timmy. If that in fact happens.
Sure, man.
Twin Towers.
Can't wait. I will go to a Stockton Kings game this year just to watch the Drew Timmy DHO game.
I love it. I think
he's a menace in the high post.
I think Drew Timmy should have been invited to camp. In all honesty, I do.
I was kind of surprised he wasn't, to be honest.
I would have liked
really
to have
in the Cal Classic.
Yeah, I do think that there's a possibility that he'll get signed here in Sacramento in the next couple of days and then waived, so they can actually give him a little bit of a bump in pay. Mm-hmm. I'm a Timmy guy. You can't have enough Gonzaga big men in the league. Just saying.
I'm a Timmy guy, but not at that price point in a trade.
Hey, I'm a big Jordan Ford fan too. Local kid, Folsom High.
Yeah, 916 legend.
And he played really well last year in the G League. So, I don't know. Interesting move.
Anyways. Over dramatics aside,
yeah.
Let's put a bow on this 49ers win over the Seahawks, a huge 36-24 win for San Francisco last night. What was the play of the game for you? Because I think that you can make the case for a bunch of them.
Man, the Garrido bust out late was huge. I thought that was because he struggled so much, and there was like this real worry that when Mason went down, like, what are you going to do next? Like, are they going to literally going to call somebody out of Kyle Shanahan's Rolodex and get him in here to play running back next week? Are we going to see, what is it, Tevin Coleman, like, back on the field?
Tevin,
there we go. Is Matt Breida getting re-signed? That's what I was worried about. And then all of a sudden he gets this huge run, and it was almost like this, okay, number one, the game, you just iced the game. But number two, you just kind of gave them a little bit of hope in case there is a long-term injury here to another running back.
Yeah, and especially the way Guerrero had been running at that point, it felt like he never broke a tackle. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the lanes were there on those outside zone runs and he just wasn't getting there. And at some point during the game on Thursday night, I after another one of his carries went for 4 yards, she's like, man, this is not sustainable if this is the Isaac Guerrero experience.
Yeah.
If it's 3 or 4 yards and it goes down immediately, like what, this is not a fourth round pick. And then that outside zone run was blocked up perfectly. He ran it perfectly. Should have gone in the end zone. Here's what I think happened when he slid down, right? Because Devin Witherspoon dove and caught his foot, right? And tripped him a little bit, but he clearly slid and went down on purpose. I think he didn't know. I think as he was running down the sideline, this is what I believe. I don't think he knew if scoring or going down to before the end zone was the right move.
Yeah, like he wanted to be a good teammate.
Yeah. And so he's going, wait, is it dumb if I score here? I don't want my first touchdown to be. So when he got tripped up a little bit, he just went, okay, I'm just going to go down.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. I wish he had gotten in the end zone. That would have been cool. He would have had his first touchdown. He would have had a 100-yard game. Would have been pretty unbelievable. Damian Barling in the building for the
I thought he just got caught. No. I didn't think he slid. I thought he just kind of got.
Well, so that's what I can't caught. Because. So Devin Witherspoon dove and like hit his foot. But I think if he had been really content on getting into the end zone, he could have like stayed on his feet enough to get there. It was like
situational awareness.
Yeah, and Witherspoon hit his foot and then he slid down like a baseball slide.
Yeah,
I got you.
Like he went down on purpose. So I think he was caught in between the two and wasn't 100% sure what to do. Damian, what was your play of the game last night for the 49ers? It feels like there's a bunch to choose from. James picked the game icing run by Isaac Guerrero.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be up there because it was skeptical up until, you know, that point. You kind of wondered, like, well, are they going to be able to close this out or not? I'd probably take the interception leading to that. I think they had a few defensive plays. You know, again, you kind of – yeah, I don't – it's difficult to give a positive, like, evaluation of the defense, like, as a whole. But, man, they've had some really special moments this year that have really kind of catapulted them, kind of helped them in the couple of victories that they've had. Even in the losses, you can point to different moments defensively where you're like, man, that's a good look. Fred Warner's at the center of a lot of those, so that's always like a positive thing. But I'll take the interception that preceded that run, and because I wasn't sure what Geno was going to do in that moment. I thought, hey, this could be a nice little moment here for Geno.
Yeah.
I don't want to be overly critical because I know, like, as that game was taking place, and I try really hard to not, I try not to live tweet. Like, that practice can be, like, a bit ridiculous. So I try not to do that. But as I'm watching
it. Fired.
No, not at all. It's just not for me. And as I, like, because my thought process develops through a game, and as I'm just watching this, I'm like, I don't know how. I don't know what the positive takeaway is. Is it that the 49ers are winning? The game's kind of going the way that you see a double-digit lead disappear again. You see the Seahawks right in position to potentially, you know, take the lead. And it's like, I don't know what to do with this, but mm-hmm. It's a Thursday. It's a division opponent, and you got to win.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, on the road, exactly, in a tough place to play. And in the end, maybe that's all that really matters. You've got 10 days to prepare for the Super Bowl champions. You got 10 days to prepare for your next game. So I want to talk about what the 49ers did. I want to talk about the pros and the cons, the goods and the bads. But in the end, they beat a division opponent on the road on a Thursday, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, the play of the game for me was, because I'm with you, it was teetering there, but Seattle also never had the ball in 49ers territory after their first possession. Never had the ball in 49ers territory with a chance to take the lead, and tire take the lead. And so it never really, like, the Niners defense stepped up in a way that it hadn't in previous games. They got the stops it needed to get. The play for me, though, was the touchdown pass from Purdy to George Kittle after the interception by Renardo Green. Because that makes it a, they didn't get the 2-point conversion, but they're up 12 now with 6.5 minutes to go. And Seattle now needs 2 touchdowns to win this game. And if the Niners kick a field goal there, it feels like a here we go again moment where it's like 6.5 minutes. Man, they get a quick touchdown and a stop, and all of a sudden they just need a field goal to win it. Like, oh, this is, ooh, it's a little bit dicey. So finding, after struggling so badly in the red zone all year, starting this game 0 for 2 in the red area. They were 0 for 2 to start the game. They finished 3 for 3 and capped off the game there with that pass from Purdy to Kittle, his second touchdown catch of the game. That was the one that went, okay, they're good. Like, they got it now.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Sorry, Hammer.
Yeah, go ahead.
The two touchdown passes to Kittle were huge. I thought Purdy was really good last night again. I don't think he's had very many bad moments this year. And another, you know, he had a 3-touchdown, 0-interception game. Only 18 completed passes. The 49ers were really, they rode that run game pretty tough yesterday, which is that seems like a smart thing to do on the road, particularly in Seattle. But I thought Purdy was really good again. And it's amazing to me, you know, the 49ers have all of these weapons. He almost gets criticized for having all of these weapons. The 49ers almost get criticized for having all of these weapons.
Ridiculous.
My goodness, man. He finds a way to utilize all of them. He finds a way. You know what? I need a big play this way. You know, I need a big play from Debo. I'm going to go to Debo this time. I need a big play here in Seattle. I'm going to go to Kittle. He finds a way to get all of his playmakers involved. It might not all be in the same game, but those guys have been eaten throughout the season at various points where you could point to all of them. You know, unfortunately for guys like Juwan Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, their big moments took places in games that the 49ers lost, but he does an amazing job of not relying solely on somebody. You see a lot with young quarterbacks. I know they used to use the term with Jason Witten and Tony Romo, they would call him Jason Witten his security blanket. He'd be, when all else fails, he's going to find Jason Witten. I think Brock Purdy has done a fantastic job of not really relying on a single guy to help carrying him through when times get tough. Like, he'll find his different guys to help him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, and the other thing I thought he did really well last night was limiting the running around. It felt like that just became the staple play. It was, hey, Brock, make the play break down and then go try and make something happen. He did it a couple of times, but I thought it was more kind of within the flow of the game.
So explain that to me, Mark Sanchez. You think he's doing that on purpose?
Not necessarily.
Mark was like, oh, he's so dramatic. Oh, look, just the drama queen back here, just running around. I was like, I don't think he's doing it on purpose, is he?
I thought he was. I think sometimes it was born out of indecisiveness and maybe not taking a short throw, looking for the long throw, and then protection starts to break down. And so he scrambles out and tries to figure it out outside the pocket. I thought he was better about hanging out in the pocket and taking the throws that were there in the short and intermediate areas last night.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
That's kind of,
I want to give a big shout out to Mustafa. I thought he was absolutely tremendous in that game.
It was good.
Yeah. He had a big pick, but he also, like, you felt his presence on multiple occasions, whether it was like knocking the ball out of people's hands or hitting somebody. I think, you know, when you're worried about these young guys not developing in the defensive backfield, he took a step forward in that game.
Have you ever watched the alternate broadcast on Amazon with the all 22?
Yes.
It's pretty neat. I watched it for the first time yesterday. Now, the little pop-up guy kind of throws it off where it's like, I don't need you here. Get off of the screen. Like, you're wasting space. But the Mustafa play, the Malik Mustafa, the interception at the beginning was great because I was watching that alternate broadcast. And because it shows that all 22 in almost like video game form, you see it. As the pass is being thrown, you're like, hey! You're pointing at the screen, it's right there. And then watching it develop, the funny part about that was it looked like he caught it and just ran out of bounds.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. It's like, hey, plant your feet and go, dog.
Yeah. Steps out like the 3. You're like, what are you doing?
For the replay, like, did he run out of room? Like, no, he just caught it and like trotted out of bounds.
Speaking of gotta go, that's what we've got to do right now, because D'Lo and Casey is coming up next. For James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back with you Monday at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine.
Not fun.
Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Your coworkers might annoy you, but we promise we won't. Download the free Odyssey app and you can listen to us at work while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Tune in late? You can rewind your favorite live shows to catch what you missed. And with chapters, easily jump to the topics that you care about most, like the latest updates from your team. Your sports talk, your way. The Odyssey app. Download it today.
Sky River Casino is always the place to play, but with football season here, there's no better place to catch all of the action than inside 32 Brew Street with over 70 TV screens and local breweries on tap. You won't miss a single moment of your favorite team. Plus, beginning October 13th, brunch at SR Prime Steakhouse is in full effect. You can head over to skyriver.com to reserve your spot right now. You can enjoy classics with a modern twist, including exceptional steaks, seafood, and a top-notch wine collection. With over 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky's the limit if you're 21 and over, only at Sky River Casino.
What sets Ashton & Price apart from other injury law firms? I'll tell you. From beginning to end, all important legal decisions are made directly between our clients and their experienced local attorney. A gate agent flying the plane? The receptionist performing surgery? Not a chance. There's simply no substitute for the unique power of the direct attorney-client relationship offered by Ashton & Price. And there's never a fee until we win, and between you and me, we win a lot.
Remember, for the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton and Price.
This hour on ESPN 1320.
Sponsored by Bank of America. Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses, so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let our professional parts people test your battery for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
There's new Tropic Bowls in Paradise at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Enjoy our new Bahama Mama Bowl inspired by our fan-fave smoothie flavor, serving pineapple, strawberry, and coconut. Or dig into 32 grams of protein with our new Peanut Butter Protein Crunch Bowl. It's Tropic time.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check you have a full tank of gas first before road tripping through the desert.
Empty? Seriously? Maybe I can walk.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Maybe I can't.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open and happy to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.